We are in a day of deception everywhere we turn.
But now China is in the midst of a serious COVID resurgence. The northern Jilin province has banned its 24 million residents from leaving or traveling to other cities, and Hong Kong is reporting an extremely high death rate. And in Europe, a subvariant of Omicron known as BA2 is causing infections to spike across that continent.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, radio for the remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan visits with two special guests. Pastor Billy Crone returns for part three of his series with us, this week discussing the deception surrounding all things COVID. Then, apologist and cult expert Jill Martin Rishi joins Jan to talk about the hit series The Chosen. Is this a reliable film series, or are there real concerns surrounding this presentation? All of that on today's programming.
In fact, if you don't think that this type of forced behavior isn't coming here to America, you better think again. Schools. I've said this I don't know how many times. Get your kid out of public school. Not only for the filth that's being taught there, but you better get him out now, because now schools in the United States of America are vaccinating kids without parental consent. Here's just one example. Watch this.
Parents in the LA Unified School District are accusing schools of giving their kids the vaccine without their consent. Maribel Duarte says that her 13-year-old son, a student at the Barack Obama Global Prep Academy in South LA, brought home this vaccine card after getting the shot at school. And she says that he said yes when somebody offered the vaccine in exchange for some pizza.
It hurt it to know that he got a shot without my permission, without me even knowing or signing any papers for him to get the shot.
In the United States of America, total violation of the Nuremberg Code, and the rationale that they have, well, it's implied consent because you sent your kids to public school.
I'm so glad you could join me for the hour. I have two guests and two topics this hour. In part one of my programming, Pastor Billy Crone returns for the third week, and we're going to spend part one talking about, well, one of the products that we're carrying of his now, The Great COVID Deception. And this is a five teaching DVD set that attempts to unveil and expose the never-ending, ongoing plethora of lies and deceit that have happened now over 2 years that the media will never share with you, but I will. So in part two of the hour, I'm going to talk to cult expert Jill Martin Rishi about the TV presentation, The Chosen. Is it biblically sound Christian entertainment, or is there a serious Mormon influence that can't be easily dismissed? Pastor Billy Crone pastors Sunrise Bible Church in Las Vegas. He produces amazing products that you can find at getalifemedia.com. We are carrying one of his newer presentations. We talked about one last week, and this is a different product, The Great COVID Deception. And let me just quickly add here that we are not diminishing the seriousness of the COVID virus, and we all know lives that have been devastated by it, and I have talked about that frequently on air. I have had health professionals on many times stating that countless lives could have been saved and others spared weeks of misery from this virus had simple drugs been used, drugs sadly that were minimized and even banned in some circles. So that's not the purpose of this segment, to review that. By the way, as I speak, it does appear that there's a variant now. The BA2 variant is on its way to becoming the dominant coronavirus strain, having roughly doubled each week here for the past month, according to the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Pastor Billy Crone, thank you for coming back here again.
Thanks, Jan. It's always great to be on.
15 days to slow the spread, over 2 years. Now that has turned into global tyranny. Of course, many don't see it that way. They say we are just trying to keep people safe. And you call, at least in this product, and then I've seen the online presentations of your product, you call it a COVID deception. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear when you do the investigation, Jan. We're not saying that COVID's not real. Of course it's real. The issue is, what are these global elites, including the folks in our own country, unfortunately, in the current administration, what are they doing with it? When you stack it all together, it's one lie after another lie. They're deceiving us with it. So why are you doing this? And what proof do we have out there that you guys aren't telling us the truth? And my point is, if somebody repeatedly tells a lie, then I need to be a discerning Christian and realize, don't buy into the narrative. And then you better go deeper and find out, why are they lying to you? And this, Jan, is the same methodology that the elites have been using to usher in their global regime for decades. It's the classic axiom that if you create a crisis, right, you can manage the outcome. And they even admit this on tape, that COVID is too big of a global crisis to, quote, go to waste. If you listen to these guys, they actually tell you what they want to do with this. And this is the deception. Again, I'm not saying COVID's not real. It's what are they using that to do? And what they're wanting to do is to bring in a one-world government, a one-world economy, a cashless economy. They want to tie every individual into that to control everybody on the planet, not just your health, but including what you buy and sell. Now, what is that? If you read the Bible, in fact, the Bible is the only book on the planet that tells you exactly what that deception is. It's called the Antichrist Kingdom. And these guys admit it, Jan. When you string together their videos and interviews, they admit this is exactly what they are using COVID for. They say it's about the health, but it's not. It's to usher in what the Bible calls the Antichrist Kingdom. That's the deception.
Thank you for that clarification. And you and I have actually talked about this on air. This would have been several months ago now. So I just want to repeat a few things that I think are worthy of repetition here. First of all, what has always intrigued me, Pastor Billy Crone, is there's a 99% survival rate from this illness. Therefore, the tactics being used of fear with the intent, again, to gain power, to gain control, the overreach of government, the mindset to get people to depend on government, particularly for health safety. These are all things that have been implemented that I think have been almost a joke, the fear, the control, the overreach of government, et cetera, but it's been very, very effective. And then the other thing that I think a lot of people are missing, you and I have talked about it back in October of 2019, it was called Event 201. All of this was planned. They even had stuffed little COVID toys that they handed out. Were they in union with the plans of the World Economic Forum? Planned this pandemic. And that's why some people have used the term plandemic instead of pandemic.
Yeah, in fact, I'll add another element to that, Jan. And this is still on tape. And of course, we share the videos and the interviews on the DVDs. But Glenn Beck appeared on Tucker Carlson, and he revealed with his research that U.S. doctors were reviewing Moderna vaccine in December of 2019 before COVID hit the U.S. That's on tape.
So that is a part of, as you call it, a planned deception. Folks, we have this 5 teaching DVD set. It's in my online store, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, or call my office or get on our newsletter lists, and everything will be available in those various newsletters. Pastor Crone, in conjunction with the World Economic Forum and, again, the global elite at Event 201, October 2019, the goals are to bring down capitalism, to bring down America. They had to get rid of Donald Trump, obviously, because he wasn't going along with global government. Actually, he's the one who came up with the vaccine, the warp speed, etc. But again, as you've said, the cashless society, replace everything with digital money, global government. The Green New Deal is a part of this, where the scheme is to dictate what you eat, how you live, and reduce the population of the planet. And folks, as much as that sounds conspiratorial, and I know it does, you can't brush that last comment of mine off. Billy Crone, the reduction of the population of the planet, that is a part of the deception.
Yeah, it is, Jan. Of course, that's why this is an exhaustive research project. As you know on the videos, it's highly driven with actual video clips with these global elites around the world saying it themselves. We didn't get this from JoeSchmo.com or WackyConspiracyGuy.org. And the reason why we went to great detail is to show people that if you can demonstrate that this is factual information, what these guys are doing, then it's not a conspiracy anymore. It's demonstrated fact. And you're right, Jen, there's a multitude of reasons why they have been using COVID for a plandemic. The plan starts way back with the last election cycle. They had to make President Trump look bad. There was no way anybody was going to beat him. So here comes COVID, and that began to make him look bad with the press against him. Then it became the excuse to bring in the mail-in ballots, because, again, the only way you're going to beat him is you cheat. And in my opinion, that's what they did based on the facts. But even outside the U.S., there's a global agenda. They call it the Great Reset. The Great Reset is nothing more than the new terminology for the rise of the Antichrist Kingdom. This is what they want to do. A one-world government, a one-world economy, and a cashless society, tying, digitizing people into it. In fact, Klaus Schwab, who's the founder and the CEO of World Economic Forum, who's a big part of this Great Reset, he admitted that the goal with COVID is to get to the point where they merge the biological with the digital. That's on tape. What he's talking about is, as we've been used to having microchips in all of our products, we now need to microchip people and tie them into this global matrix that they're building with COVID, he admits, as the excuse. Another deception too that's going on here, and we share the research and the video clips, is COVID was a mega bailout for Big Pharma. And if you do the research, and we do, we provide it on this resource, you will see that Big Pharma, the exact same ones who have been allowed to make these vaccines, Moderna, AstraZeneca, J&J, they were going bankrupt. Over the last 10 years, they were taking a huge mega nosedive to the tune of not just millions, but billions of dollars. It was getting so serious that there were talks of yanking them from the stock market. That's how bad it was. So here comes COVID. On top of everything else that we discussed, it becomes the instantaneous bailout. And in 1 year alone, Moderna, who was about $10 billion or more in the hole, they not only got that $10 billion back, now they're making tens of billions more. And there seems no sign of stopping, because that was the other deception. Remember, Janet, was, well, if you just get this one shot, it'll all go away. You'll never get COVID. You'll never go to the hospital. You won't have to wear masks anymore. Won't that be great? How long did that last? One shot turned into two shots.
Yeah.
Two shots turned into a booster shot. A booster shot turned into annual booster shots. Endless booster shots.
Endless. I've got a clip here. It's only 35 seconds, and it's this Rochelle Walensky, head of the CDC. And she says here, talking of the vaccine, we wanted it to be helpful. I guess we had too much optimism. Folks, you have to listen carefully, because it's just mildly muffled internet version of Rochelle Walensky.
I can tell you where I was when the CNN feed came that it was 95% effective, the vaccine. So many of us wanted to be hopeful. So many of us wanted to say, okay, this is our ticket out, right? Now we're done. So I think we had perhaps too little caution and too much optimism for some good things that came our way. I really do. I think all of us wanted this to be done. Nobody said waning when, oh, this vaccine's going to work. Oh, well, maybe it'll work, it'll wear off. Nobody said, well, what if the next variant, it's not as potent against the next variant.
She says we had too much optimism. This is the head of the Center for Disease Control, folks, Rochelle Walensky. Your thought on that, Pastor Crone?
The traditional definition of a vaccine in the medical community, and I'll bring up the example that many of us probably got when we were growing up. You know, you get a shot against polio vaccine or chickenpox vaccine. When I got those growing up, guess what? It was one shot and what? You're done. That's what a vaccine does. It's supposed to prevent you from getting that thing. You're one and done. And that's what is the deceptive part about this, Jan, is it's called a vaccine. Even the people in the medical community are saying we need to stop calling it a vaccine because it doesn't do what vaccines are defined to do. But it's deceptive because, again, it's not one, it's not two, it's endless booster. It's like, where do you stop? And even if you do get the shots, it's now come out, guess what? You still get COVID. And then the other lie was, and again, it's fear. I'm glad you brought that up, Jan, because it's a twofold attack by these elitists to get us to submit to their global agenda. One, again, you create a crisis, you manage the outcome. Well, that's COVID, that's the plandemic. Two, once you usher that in with the media, you generate fear. Why? Because here's the second plank. People are more apt to surrender their freedoms in a time of fear than a time of peace. And that's what they've done with this. They've got us worked up into a frenzy over fear. We're all going to die. But if you just get this shot, okay, maybe the second shot, okay, maybe a booster, and it just never ends. But it's done its job. You look at a lot of people, and they're walking around in a state of fear, and it's unfortunate because they know that we'll basically roll over and let them, little by little, start to take away our individual freedoms, as well as usher in this global governance, which is happening before our eyes.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line from Las Vegas Pastor Billy Crone. Yes, he's back with me for the third week because we've been talking about a number of issues over the last several weeks. We started talking about the war in Ukraine, and we moved on last weekend. We talked about glorious news, the rapture of the church, which is imminent at any moment, because we're carrying Pastor Crone's DVD set, Are You Ready for the Rapture? You can find that in my online store as well. And this week, I invited him back for half of the program because of his outstanding five-teaching DVD set, The COVID Deception, and certainly not suggesting that the illness is not real, because it is, and some of you have experienced it. Billy Crone, I'm moving on to just a little bit different angle here. Not so much from the deception angle, but this is a huge concern to me, and I'm pulling this out of the European Union Times, and the headline is, EU announces plans for digital COVID-19 vaccine passport. The European Union's rumored plans to develop a transnational vaccine passport are now a definite reality. EU officials confirmed that they're working on a European, quote, digital green pass, quote, and the European Commission is expected to publish a draft of this legislation very soon, according to Euronews. I won't read any more. But my concern is that this is all morphing into what we would call probably a digital ID system. It's going to be the passports, the vaccine passports are going to morph into digital ID system. Now, quite frankly, Billy Crone, you and I may be gone at that point in time, the church having been taken home to heaven in the rapture. But the left behind world is going to be experiencing sort of an electronic tracking system that's just absolutely stunning. But we're seeing the foreshadowing of that even as we speak.
Right. And Jan, I'm glad we're talking about this because right now the news narrative is really running hard again with the Russia-Ukraine aspect. And we've already talked about that and what's really going on with that agenda. But I think a lot of people think that, okay, I guess the whole COVID pandemic agenda has gone away. No, that's part of the deception that's going on. While everybody's now moved on to this next narrative by their own doing in the media, they are cramming through these other agendas that they have not given up on the COVID agenda. And you're right, the global vaccine passport, they've admitted, and we got it on tape, it's beyond just that. That's just another step. And ultimately, if you can get everybody to have a digitized passport, then you could eventually move, after you get used to that, then you get individual people. It not only controls whether you can travel from country to country or board a plane, but how about going into a grocery store? How about buying and selling? And it sounds crazy, but again, we've got these guys on tape. That's exactly what it is. It's like a frog in a pot, Jan. They're warming us up a little bit at a time over here. And then smoke and screen, sleight of hand, look over here as we cram this through Congress. And these are the times when you need to pay attention to what's going on. But you're right, Jim. How far are we going to be here as the church when this gets implemented? We don't know. Only God knows. But what we do know is the church leaves prior to the rise of the Antichrist kingdom officially in the seven-year tribulation. And if we see that these guys that this is what they're building, then all it means is our departure is much nearer. And I will add this too, Jim, with the COVID pandemic, this has been the biggest global dry run to prepare the world to receive the mark of the beast in the seven-year tribulation in the history of mankind, certainly the church. And I say that for this. What happened with this global fear that they crammed into us with this COVID pandemic? People rolled over on a global basis. This has never happened before in the history of mankind. People rolled over on a global basis, and when they were given a mandate that you have to put this mask on your face in order to continue to buy and sell, what did people do? They did it.
Yes, they did.
Then it moved on from the mask, Jan, to what? Now the mandate is you need to get something in your body, i.e. a shot, in order to what? To continue to have your job and buy and sell and go to the restaurants and function in society. Well, think about that, Jan. Obviously, what is it? The shots and the mask, that's not the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast doesn't happen until the seven-year tribulation. But here's the point. This is the biggest dry run that we've ever seen to prepare the mindset for people to receive the mark of the beast. And you could see it happen. You could see and almost visualize people's rationalization in the seven-year tribulation who've been left behind after the rapture. When the mandate, because that's what it is, it's a mandate, Revelation 13, from the Antichrist, the false prophet, to receive this mark in order to buy and sell, you can see people, oh, well, this ain't that bad. This isn't any different than the COVID thing, right? We had to put this thing on our head called a mask. We had to put this thing in our arm called a shot. What's the big deal? And this has never happened before, Jen, but it's happening now. And I think that it has obvious prophetic significance that, number one, if we're saved, you better start looking up and finish strong as the bride of Christ and get busy sharing the gospel. If you're not, how much more proof do you need to see before your eyes our planet is headed towards this mark of the beast scenario with this Antichrist figure, but you need to take the Bible serious. You don't want to be a part of that. The good news is you don't have to if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior now.
Pastor Billy Crone, pastor of Sunrise Bible Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. You can learn much more at his product website, which is an amazing website, getalifemedia.com, getalifemedia.com. Billy Crone, a huge factor in all of this has been the censorship. We're literally not allowed to talk about a lot of things that are very, very important. In fact, let me just let Dr. McCullough talk about this. He's talking to Joe Rogan.
I would like to think that this is information that people want to know.
I agree.
How much does it disturb you that this is being censored? Because on every other platform, this conversation we're having right now would be censored. Every other online platform, social media, they would censor this for sure on YouTube. But what you're saying is incredibly important.
Censorship that has suppressed for 2 years information on safe and effective early treatment, and censorship on vaccine safety has led to large numbers of deaths, hospitalizations, and permanent disability. Joe, there is no bigger public health crisis than the impact of censorship in COVID-19.
Billy Crone, that was Dr. Peter McCullough on Joe Rogan program. And even as you and I are speaking today, I'm well aware that various platforms, we can't even post this, not with my radio stations. And thank you to my 900 stations for being so patient with me. But the other platforms, Pastor Crone, would be knocking this off immediately.
Oh, absolutely, Jan. Again, that's why I said, unfortunately, it appears that we've now, certainly with the current administration, we've turned into America with a K.
Yeah.
It's unthinkable. In fact, it's not just unthinkable and unbiblical, it's unconstitutional. This is clearly a violation of the First Amendment with the rights of free speech and freedom of press, but they're in on it and to push this agenda. That's why, Jan, if something is so true, then it'll stand on its own, right? If what you're saying about your agenda with COVID and what you say we need to do with it and what you need to try to usher in with it, if it's so good and if it's so true, why are you scared of a person's opinion? If it's true, truth always will stand. That's what makes something true. Mm-hmm. However, if you're lying, that's why you're censoring it. That to me is the big elephant in the room. This is the United States of America. We pride ourselves on being able to have different opinions, but this is America. You have a right to free speech. Why can't we talk about this? And Jan, this was just a continual slide, even back with the last election cycle. After the election, you couldn't talk about your concerns. Was this fair? Was it honest? You couldn't even talk about it. And then here comes COVID, and they just continued with the same format. But if it's real and if it's true, and if I can trust you guys, what are you scared about?
The other angle that I've always been intrigued with, Pastor Crone, is, for instance, the FDA says it needs more than, actually, they need 55 years before the Pfizer vaccine info can be released, proving that it's safe and efficient, et cetera. That can only happen, well, in about half a century from now, when most of us will be long gone. That alone speaks volumes, I think.
Yeah, in fact, we share a meme in our study. A lady took that and used the analogy of a marriage relationship
sure.
to bring out how ridiculous of a statement that is. She said, if I went out to a bar with another gentleman last night, but I told you I wasn't going to tell you until 2076, would you have a problem with that? That's ridiculous. Why would you wait that long? Jim, we categorize lie after lie after lie, deceit. That's why it's called deceit. You mentioned the efficacy. A lot of these videos are the interviews of people like Fauci and the others. They're all strung together chronologically. And I don't think we realize just how much and how often we've been lied to until you see chronologically put in order. You mentioned earlier about the CDC admitting that our hopes were too high and it's just really not effective. We actually put together about a 5-minute clip of Fauci talking about the efficacy of the vaccines. And of course, it starts out 100% efficacious. It's just going to be great. And then literally we string and it goes down from 100% to like 98. And then it drops into the 80s and 70s and 50s and 40. And then I'm not joking. One of the headlines is calling it a, quote, colossal stupid. And that's their words, not mine. Because, again, it's not working. And if it did work, why do we need more than one endless booster shot? Well, that's not the agenda, folks. COVID is real. But what they're doing with it is the great deception. That's why we call it the great COVID deception. And that's what we need to get equipped on. Because it's all part of a global agenda. Again, as Christians, we know where this is headed. God told us 2,000 years ago, it's the rise of the Antichrist kingdom. The good news is we're out of here at the rapture prior to the culmination of that. But in the meantime, we need to get busy telling people there's a way out of this mess, and his name is Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Pastor Billy Crone. Again, we carry this product, The Great COVID Deception, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. Call my office if you'd like to order it that way or get on our newsletter list. and learn more about Pastor Billy Crone, Get a Life Media, getalifemedia.com. He pastors Sunrise Bible Church, Las Vegas, Nevada. Pastor Crone, thank you. You've been with me now. This is the third week. I want to thank you for giving up that kind of time. And I know your passion is the same as mine, and that is getting truth out while we still can, because obviously it's getting harder and harder to even find platforms that will allow the truth. And that's your passion and mine, is to get the truth while there is time and to save souls while there is time. I want to thank you so much for coming back here 3 weeks in a row. We'll keep in touch, okay?
Thank you, Jen.
Stay tuned, folks. In part two of my program, we're going to be talking to cult authority Jill Martin Rishi on the received fantastically well presentation, The Chosen. Just what kind of a Mormon influence is a part of The Chosen television series? So don't go away. Be back in just a minute.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. In this unstable, chaotic world that is groaning to be free from the curse of sin, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio and Olive Tree Ministries. We are so pleased to be carrying the new Terry James and Pete Garcia book, The Disappearing: Future Events That Will Rock the World. What we are witnessing today is about to bring down the curtain of prophecy's final act. Each hour brings troubling headlines from the many news sources now available. Every report seems more intrusive upon our daily lives than the previous. And all accounts appear to be setting the end time stage for soon fulfillment of God's prophetic word and a great disappearing known as the rapture of the church. Find the book in our online store, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You can also pay by check. The price is just $12, and we offer free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. Write to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Turn today's darkness into anticipation as you learn about the forthcoming disappearing in the new book, The Disappearing: Future Events That Will Rock the World.
Is Jesus? Who is God to the Mormon Church? Brigham Young said, quote, "There is not a man or woman who violates the covenants made with their God that will not be required to pay the debt. The blood of Christ will never wipe that out. Your own blood must atone for it." Brigham Young stated that if you are going to heaven, you must confess Joseph Smith as a prophet of God in order to be saved. These are key differences. We have to look at who is behind this theology, and the fact that Dallas Jenkins is out there saying they're his brothers and sisters, he prays with them all the time. I would like to ask him, which God are you praying to? Are you praying to the one who is with his goddess wife on the planet Kolob? Because that is not the God of the Bible.
We know you can't always be via radio, so catch Understanding the Times Radio at your convenience online. Watch the video version of the program or listen to the audio at olivetreeviews.org, then to complete archives on YouTube, on Rumble, on Light Source, and on his channel, Christian TV. We're changing topics for this segment. Jill Martin Rishi joins Jan Markell to discuss the hit series called The Chosen. Here are Jan and Jill to close today's programming.
My growing brother and sisterhood with people of the LDS community that I never would have known otherwise, and learning so much about your faith tradition and realizing gosh, for all the stuff that maybe we don't see eye to eye on, that's all based on stuff that happened after Jesus was here. The stories of Jesus, we do agree on, and we love the same Jesus. And that's not something that you often hear. Sometimes it's like, oh, they believe in a different Jesus than we do. I'll sink or swim on that statement. And it's controversial. And I don't mind getting criticized at all for the show. And I don't mind being called a blasphemer. I don't like it when my friends are. I've made it very clear that if I go down, I'm going down swinging, protecting my friends and my brothers and sisters. And so I don't deny we have a lot of theological differences, but we love the same Jesus.
And welcome to part two of my programming for today. Joining me in studio momentarily will be the familiar voice of Jill Martin Rishi. But let me just set the stage here by saying, and you heard that clip, that was Dallas Jenkins, writer and director of the popular series The Chosen. And it's being described as a global phenomenon that would be The Chosen, and a growing movement that is creating the groundwork for world revival. Now, the Mormon influence on The Chosen is considerable. The executive producer is a Mormon, the distributor a Mormon. Certain episodes were shot on a special Mormon set in Utah. And the crowdfunding and media expertise is provided by Mormons. Let me just say this from the website. The Chosen is the first multi-season television series about the life of Christ as witnessed through the eyes of those he impacted. Again, this is from the Chosen website. Directed by Dallas Jenkins and distributed by VidAngel Studios, The Chosen has grown to become the largest crowd-funded TV series of all time. And VidAngel is a Netflix and Amazon-based streaming service. So those who defend The Chosen may say that so far through season two, no Mormon doctrine has been introduced into the series, and therefore it's not a problem that Mormons and evangelicals are working together. Well, keep in mind that the goal of the producers of The Chosen series is 1 billion people watching it. Can the story of Jesus really be harmful, even if it doesn't follow the Bible literally? So let's clarify right away, there are huge differences between the biblical Jesus and the Mormon Jesus, and we'll talk about some of that. In studio with me is Jill Martin Rishi. She is the daughter of Dr. Walter Martin, and we'll say a little bit more about that as we go along into our programming. Jill, thank you for coming into the studio today.
Good to be here, Jen.
Dallas Jenkins, as you and I acknowledge, is a gifted filmmaker.
Yes.
And he sincerely wants the world to get to know Jesus better. And he insists he is presenting the authentic Jesus as seen through the eyes of his disciples. You understand Mormonism better than anybody I know. Give me your hesitation here.
Well, I think looking at Dallas Jenkins' heart is a good thing. He said, quote, "The Chosen has been for me a desperate attempt and an obsessive attempt to introduce people to the authentic Jesus of Nazareth." So that sounds very good, and I do not doubt his sincerity at all. The issue here is, who is Jesus? And it has always been, who is Jesus? There is a specific identity assigned to Jesus Christ of Nazareth in the Bible. And when you stray from that, you stray into problems and great difficulty. And I think that is what's happened here. For example, if we go back and look at history, Jan, you know how I am about history. I teach it, and I'm a stickler for history. Learn your history and learn from it, because in the knowledge of history is power. So we go back and we look at what the LDS or the Mormon Church, which they've always been the Mormon Church now, they are avoiding that label Mormon. They want to be called LDS, Latter-day Saints. But we have to go back and look at what they taught. First of all, when they were conceived, who brought this whole doctrinal mess into this world? It was Joseph Smith Jr. And Brigham Young, of course, continued his work. If we go back and we look at what Joseph Smith says, here he is talking about the Trinity. Quote, "Many men say there is one God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are only one God. I say that is a strange God anyhow. Three in one and one in three. It is a curious organization. All are to be crammed into one God according to sectarianism. It would make the biggest God in all the world. He would be a wonderfully big God. He would be a giant or a monster." This is Joseph Smith Jr. Now here's Jesus. Jesus contradicts him and says in John 10:30, "I and my Father are one." So this is very common knowledge, Jan, and for Dallas Jenkins to find it
would not have been difficult.
Some other bullet points as to what Mormons believe. They believe God is a created being and Jesus is a created being. It is far from Christianity. One Christian leader said it is closer to paganism mm-hmm. than Christianity. As you said, there's a denial of the Trinity. They believe some end up on some planet where you create spiritual children. Really? They have done enough public relations that many think that they are our spiritual brothers and sisters. What we need to be telling them is Joseph Smith is a very false prophet. Would I be right there?
Yes, and it comes out of his own mouth. We don't have to look far to find out what Joseph Smith Jr. taught yeah. and believed. We just have to look at his words. And here's a key issue. And I wish if Dallas Jenkins hears this, I wish he would truly and prayerfully consider this. Let's look at the conception and birth of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit came and overshadowed Mary, and Jesus was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, here is what Brigham Young taught. The question has been, and is often asked, who it was that begat the Son of the Virgin Mary. When the Virgin Mary conceived the child Jesus, the Father had begotten him in his own likeness. He was not begotten by the Holy Ghost. Now, remember this, from this time forth and forever, that Jesus Christ was not begotten by the Holy Ghost.
Let's hear Dallas in his own words. Here, Dallas Jenkins is talking to a Mormon. He's talking about this growing brother and sisterhood in the LDS community, and that alone makes me somewhat nervous. But let's play this two-minute clip and come back and talk about it.
I can honestly say it's been one of the top three most fascinating and beautiful things about this project has been my growing brother and sisterhood with people of the LDS community that I never would have known otherwise, and learning so much about your faith tradition and realizing for all the stuff that maybe we don't see eye to eye on, that's all based on stuff that happened after Jesus was here. The stories of Jesus we do agree on, and we love the same Jesus. And that's not something that you often hear. Sometimes it's like, oh, they believe in a different Jesus than we do.
Statement.
No, it's the same. I mean, I'll sink or swim on that statement. And it's controversial. And I don't mind getting criticized at all for the show. And I don't mind being called a blasphemer. I don't like it when my friends are. I've made it very clear. If I go down, I'm going down swinging, protecting my friends and my brothers and sisters. And so I don't deny we have a lot of theological differences, but we love the same Jesus. And the reaction that we're getting from people when they watch it is over and over and over again every day. This is the Jesus that I feel like I knew but have never seen. Or this is who I wanted or thought Jesus was, hoped that he was, but haven't always seen that portrayed before. I'll just say, yeah, it's been quite a ride. And it all came out of my conversation with you. I said that many LDS folks and I love the same Jesus. I still believe that. It's gotten me in a lot of trouble, but I still believe that. And I have a bit of a superpower in that I don't really care if something that I say that I passionately believe is criticized. I care, of course, if I'm wrong. I care if I believe in healthy correction. But I also, when I went back to the interview, my conversation with you, and I was like, what did I say that caused this much angst for some people? And I believe actually in the first interview, I was pretty nuanced with you. I actually said, I'm not LDS. I disagree with a lot of LDS things. It's just that the people that I know, at least the majority, especially when we're talking about Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of the Gospels, we love the same Jesus. We may have some strong differences of opinion, and you may believe some things about Jesus before the Gospels and particularly after the Gospels, but I believe that I have come to know deeply some LDS folks that I would die for, that I would crawl on glass with, that I have crawled on glass with for this project, and who share my belief to make the authentic Jesus known to the world. And if it's a different Jesus, then they're actually really bad because they're working really hard to get this show out to the world. So if it's part of some really big con, it's a really bad one.
Okay, Joel Martin Rishi, is it possible for Dallas Jenkins and the Mormon he was talking to be loving the same Jesus?
No. If you compare biblical doctrine to the LDS, the Mormon doctrine, and to what it has always been, they've gone in and changed things. Who knows how many things they've changed for the last 150 years. But the basic things as to the identity of God the Father, he was once an exalted man, so he was human, like you and I. Mm-hmm. Right there, that disqualifies him.
Right.
As the God of the Bible, right there, that disqualifies the Jesus of the Mormons from being the Jesus of the gospel. That one thing alone. Now you add to it that the Holy Spirit isn't even involved in the conception of Jesus, but that it was a physical act between God the Father and his daughter, Mary. Now, people don't like to hear that, but that is what Mormon doctrine teaches. Now, why does this matter? Because identity is everything. Okay. What people have done down through the centuries, Jan, and you know this well, is that they change the meaning of the terms, and then they claim that those terms are Christian, and we must defend our faith because Paul says people live or die eternally based on doctrine. It's a serious thing.
So why do you think that we can't use the chosen sort of as a springboard for a conversation about the real Jesus? Many wouldn't listen before, but they seem captivated by the story, by the acting, by the drama, and by the way the cinematography is outstanding. The acting is outstanding. Everything about this production is absolutely first class. Why not use this as a springboard?
I go back to Paul. Shall we do evil that good may come? That's at the heart of it. We have to look at what is this relationship that a very talented Christian has with the enemies of Jesus Christ. And the Mormon Church has always been an enemy of Jesus Christ. So what relationship does Dallas Jenkins have with them? And knowing the quotes that I just gave you, and there are so much more, we've just barely scratched the surface of what the Mormon Church teaches. Knowing all these things, even if he only knows, say, the two that we mentioned, then knowing this, how can you become so close and have such a strong relationship with people who are the enemies of Jesus? Now, I'm not saying that Jesus doesn't love them or didn't die for them, because he did, but their doctrine stands as an enemy of the cross of Christ.
In the book, The Godmakers, Ed Decker and Dave Hunt state, Mormon missionaries claim to be bringing true Christianity to the world. When questioned, Mormons insist that their gospel comes from the Bible and that they have the same God and the same Jesus as Christians. In actual fact, they have a completely different God from what the Bible presents, a different Jesus, and a different gospel. These differences are denied or glossed over by the missionaries, who are often evasive and unwilling to tell the whole truth to a prospective convert for fear of losing him. Some attributes of the Mormon Jesus. Jesus is Lucifer's brother. Some of this is really far out. Jesus was not always God, but earned his way to godhood, just as we will become gods someday. My question, Jill, is do you think that Dallas Jenkins, again, he's writer and director of The Chosen, which many of you have seen, do you think Dallas understands Mormonism?
I don't know, because the only interviews I've seen of him, he really does not touch on it at all. And the one with Melissa Doherty, where she asks him point blank, what do you know of Mormon theology? And he avoids the question.
So I have a question about that. Would you know if you're being influenced? Like, how much do you know about LDS beliefs? What is their gospel?
Well, the phrase, how much do I know? I think I would say...
Well, tell me two things. What is their gospel and who do they believe Jesus is?
Well, here's why I'm going to defer that question and maybe hope to maybe get a little bit more specific, because I'm not trying to shirk the question. I'm going to say, I don't know enough to answer a question like, what is their gospel with...
Which authority. Is why I ask.
Yeah. I'm not going to claim that I know enough to know. I know quite a bit, I think, because I've done a lot of study and I've spoken to a lot of LDS folks over the last 3 years, including some of the highest ranking members of the church. And I've asked a lot of questions, but I'm still not comfortable in a public forum saying, this is their gospel, because that's such a huge question. I'm not going to, for both their sake and for mine and for yours and for the shows, claim that I know enough to say this is their gospel.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. This segment of Understanding the Times Radio, we are taking a kind of a deep dive into the very popular series called The Chosen, written and directed by Dallas Jenkins. By the way, Dallas, you are welcome on my program anytime to talk about why you're doing what you're doing and to defend some of the things that we're talking about here. Dallas is actually a graduate of Northwestern University here in St. Paul, Minnesota. And my perception of that little clip is maybe he doesn't fully grasp what the Mormon faith believes.
If that is the case, then he has not studied to show himself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly interpreting the word of truth. He did not put on his armor. He did not evaluate who he was being yoked together with. And now he is trying to say that the Jesus that he is talking about is the Jesus of the Bible. Well, how can you say that when you are allied with the enemies of Jesus Christ in doctrine?
Dallas himself would say that 95% of the content isn't from the Bible. Help us understand this.
Obviously, this is a dramatization.
It's a drama.
And he's saying that the Mormons have absolutely no influence on this at all, that they have said, hands off. Let's say there is no Mormon influence. There is no Mormon doctrine. I would put this out there. What if, due to this production, one person, the people that Dallas is always talking about, all these people asking questions that would never have read the Bible before, what if just one of those people comes and sees that this production is largely by the LDS church or the Mormons, and they say, well, there can't be anything wrong with that church, and they become a part of it. Jen, one of the most important things that we need to remember is it only takes one person. If just one comes to the LDS church because of this production, that is their eternity. If you're going to have a friendship or working relationship with people, you need to examine who they are, what they are teaching, and if that conflicts with the gospel. That's key to anything that you would do publicly. As far as being a drama, yeah, it's a drama, and you can say it doesn't really mean anything, but who is it pointing to? In the background of Dallas Jenkins' scripts stands the Mormon Church.
The Mormon influence on The Chosen, the executive producer is a Mormon, the distributor is a Mormon, certain episodes were shot, special Mormon set in Utah, crowdfunding and media expertise is provided by Mormons. Dallas Jenkins told one interviewer that 95% of the content of The Chosen isn't from the Bible. This means that The Chosen is almost completely man's word, not God's word. Would that be an accurate statement?
Yes, I think you've got biblical truth woven in there, but that is what has always happened. When you are dealing with people who come to Christianity and say, well, I agree with this part, but I don't agree with that part, they end up weaving into it their own thing. You can say that this is totally drama, it really shouldn't be taken seriously, but here's the thing, there is scripture woven into it, and there is the problem of the relationship. And again, Jen, I have to come back to this. Who is Jesus? Who is God to the Mormon church? Brigham Young said, quote, there is not a man or woman who violates the covenants made with their God that will not be required to pay the debt. The blood of Christ will never wipe that out. Your own blood must atone for it. Brigham Young stated that if you are going to heaven, you must confess Joseph Smith as a prophet of God in order to be saved. These are key differences. We have to look at who is behind this theology. And the fact that Dallas Jenkins is out there saying they're his brothers and sisters, he prays with them all the time. I would like to ask him, which God are you praying to? Are you praying to the one who is with his goddess wife on the planet Kolob? Because that is not the God of the Bible. How about the fact, Jan, that many Mormons are working to become gods?
Dallas seems to talk frequently about how this seems to be uniting faith traditions. Let's play this clip and talk about that.
I've learned so much more about the LDS community than I thought I knew, but that goes for like the Catholic Church as well. Like this show has been uniquely, I've never seen anything like it really, how much it has unified in response multiple faith traditions. I can honestly say it's been one of the top three most fascinating and beautiful things about this project has been my growing brother and sisterhood with people of the LDS community that I never would have known otherwise, and learning so much about your faith tradition.
Your thoughts on that, Joel?
We are not on this earth to unite faith traditions. And who do we take that from? Jesus. In Luke 12:51, he said, do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division.
Speaking in the same vein here, because in August of 2021, Dallas Jenkins joined the lead character who plays Jesus. Jonathan Rumi is his name. Jonathan is a Catholic, and they visited Pope Francis. And as the two were sitting together waiting for the meeting, Mr. Rumi asked Jenkins what he was thinking at the moment, and Dallas apparently replied, this is a big deal because for me it represents two things that are important. One is the branching out of the program to the whole world. Another one is the branching out of the show to people in traditions that I wasn't a part of. So it shows that the walls are coming down. As long as I've been a Christian, which is a long time, I've never seen a project that united more faith traditions. I find that pretty troubling, Jill.
It's troubling from the standpoint of doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:16 says, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. That's how important it is to guard our doctrine. What's happening here is that
Dallas Jenkins, in trying to do a good thing, has opened up the church to attack. He has placed the church in partnership with the enemy. Now, I'm not talking about his friends as the enemy. I'm talking about the doctrine that they are believing as the enemy. Once you are in a position where you have to justify why you're even doing the project, you're in big trouble. Unfortunately, Dallas did not know enough to spot an enemy of Jesus Christ. He truly wanted to represent the biblical Jesus, but for whatever reason did not think it mattered to know the identity of the real Jesus. Instead, he accepted the Latter-day Saint assurances that they believed in the same Jesus, and he prays regularly with them. Jan, this is so troubling. But knowing the history and doctrine of the Mormon Church, which God, like we said, is he praying to? What is at the heart of all of this? He embraces the Mormons, and he calls them brothers and sisters, and now he even calls them his closest friends. How is that possible when the Jesus that they are representing was not conceived by the Holy Spirit? How is it possible that the story told about Jesus from the very beginning of Mormonism was that Jesus and Satan brought their plans for the salvation of the world before the council of the gods, and they rejected Satan's plan? Joseph Smith said, quote, "In the beginning, the head of the gods called a council of the gods, and they came together and concocted a plan to create the world and people in it. The contention in heaven was, Jesus said there would be certain souls that would not be saved. And the devil said he could save them all and laid his plans before the grand council, who gave their vote in favor of Jesus Christ. So the devil rose up in rebellion against God and was cast down with all those who put up their heads for him," unquote. That is Joseph Smith Jr., the founder of Mormonism. And they, to my knowledge, have not disowned that story. Dallas, you can find out what the Mormons believe. There are a lot of Christian apologists who would be happy to sit down with him and let him know what the Mormon Church believes. The fact that he either has not done this or is not willing to talk about it is very troubling.
You want a dialogue with Jill about this? Contact her at her website, waltermartin.com, waltermartin.com. Jill is the daughter of the late Dr. Walter Martin. Jill is the author of the wonderful, it's an encyclopedia, The Kingdom of the Occult. And the best place to find The Kingdom of the Occult, Jill, is where?
Go to christianbook.com and then really anywhere on the internet. We also have the new book out called The Kingdom of the Cults Handbook, where it's taken all the big information from The Kingdom of the Cults original book and pared it down so that you can carry it with you in actually one hand.
The Chosen is being called the stage for a worldwide revival and the healing of the world. Now, to you and I, Jill, that's problematic for one thing. The Bible doesn't really talk about an end-time revival. The Bible talks about end-time deception, which I think is what we're seeing. We're kind of talking about something that's a worldwide deception here, but they're saying this is the stage for a worldwide revival and the healing of the world. And in season two, there's been two seasons of The Chosen. The Chosen's Jesus says he's starting a revolution and invites everyone to be a partner with him in the healing of the world. This is New Age-ish to me. Is the goal to break down barriers and bring all faith traditions together? I don't know that's the case. It just sounds to me like that's what the goal is here.
Yes, and somehow that is looked at today as a good thing in quote-unquote evangelical circles. And I dislike that term evangelical intensely because we are Christians, period. A lot of people use evangelical as an insult, that word. I don't think that it's the important word. The important one is Christian. We need to ask our fellow Christians, is that really what the Bible teaches? Are we all supposed to come together? Or is this world going to be blown apart as Revelation teaches?
Let me just raise one more point, and then we are clearly out of time. But a lot of our listeners have seen other epic films produced by, let's be honest, Hollywood godless atheists, and they've enjoyed the film, whatever it might be. They've learned some things. They've even been inspired by some of these films produced by the godless. How is this different?
Problem here is that you actually have a Christian man who is producing this, directing it, and writing it. When you look at the Ten Commandments, you had a movie that was produced by godless atheists, and that was one thing. So we went and we took from it what we could that we enjoyed. Yeah. Now, as a Romans situation, you could say, well, it's up to you. If you feel comfortable going and viewing The Chosen, that's between you and the Lord, like Paul eating the meat of idols. So you could put it in that category. My concern is the difference between the Ten Commandments and The Chosen is that Dallas professes to be a Christian, and he is in an active personal relationship that he describes in great detail and with great enthusiasm with members of the Mormon Church. And if he says, oh, my friends don't believe this, well, if they don't believe any of these things, then why are they still in the Mormon Church? Yeah.
Jill, thank you for coming in today. I just wanted to open the eyes of some folks because I've gotten so many emails on this topic. I can't count the number of people who are confused and what should they believe. Let me just go out of the program. And again, folks, you can dialogue with Jill at waltermartin.com. Let me just go out of the program with a couple of Bible verses because we're in terrible times of turmoil and confusion and deception. That should have been obvious in this whole hour. The more we move into the last days, the more this is going to increase. So just let me close with a couple of verses out of Isaiah 33, verses 5 and 6. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness. And he will be the stability of your times. Abundance and salvation, wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is Zion's treasure. May you have a longing for the wisdom and knowledge spoken of here. If you have that, you will not be deceived in this day of deception. I want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. Nothing happens by accident. God is orchestrating today's global events as history, as we know it, begins to wind down. We have a front row seat to watch everything fall into place.